Hi, I'm Justin.
And I'm David.
And we are the Baseball Guys.
And on this episode, we will be analyzing the NLDS series between the Braves and the Giants. This one looked like it was actually pretty exciting. It did only go the four games, but it was a lot more exciting than the number of games showed. I mean, with the exception of game one, in which Lincecum utterly dominated the Braves offense, although Derek Lowe pitched pretty well, only giving up the one earned run. Each of the three following games were really, really exciting.
Yeah, this was a very exciting series. All four games were decided by one run. That's always a good sign of an exciting series. As you said, Lincecum completely dominant in game one. He actually put in what I feel, and statistically, was the best pitching performance of the playoffs so far. If you look at, it's a stat called game score, it was actually the second best performance of all time behind only Bob Gibson's 17 strikeout affair. And to be second to Bob Gibson is pretty good company. Yeah, so the story in game one was definitely Tim Lincecum. And game two,
In this series in general, the Giants starters were very good.
Yeah, I agree. Game two, Matt Cain, he gave up no runs. He lasted 6 2/3 innings. Hanson got absolutely lit up. He only lasted four innings and gave up four earned runs.
Right.
So this one was pretty much done by the fourth inning.
Yeah, Lincecum, 14 strikeouts, no earned runs in nine innings. Matt Cain, no earned runs. And then Jonathan Sanchez gave up one earned run. So really...
Yeah, and he went seven and a third.
Right. So, and then Madison Bumgarner in game four, also another really good pitching performance.
Yeah.
Especially being a rookie.
Yeah, and also game three, Sanchez, 11 strikeouts. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the first three games, the Giants really dominated on pitching. The Braves kind of clawed back against their bullpen. That game was the Kyle Farnsworth and Rick Ankiel love story that everyone went crazy for on ESPN the next day. So yeah, game two was won by the Rick Ankiel solo shot. Game three, as you said, Sanchez had a very, very strong outing. He went 7 1/3. The Braves got two runs in the eighth inning after Sanchez was removed. But then the Giants came back in the ninth inning and scored two runs. So, I mean, the Giants, this was a series that was, we knew was going to be a pitching affair because neither team really had a strong offense. But late heroics by the Giants, they showed that out of the weaker offenses, they had more depth and a little bit better of an offense, because then in game four,
right,
they ended up winning 3-2. The Braves actually led this one again going into the seventh inning, and the Giants scored two in the top of the seventh to make it 3-2 and held on to the lead.
Right. Obviously, the biggest story in game three was Brooks Conrad, his three errors, I believe, one of which gave up the go-ahead run in the ninth inning. Really unfortunate to happen to anybody.
Well, it's really unfortunate to a young guy, because this is something that could really stunt his progress going forward.
Right.
I mean, now when people talk about him, you're going to hear about, you know, a guy that folds in the playoffs, can't handle the pressure. He's going to have to really prove himself to come back from this occurrence. I mean, three errors in the playoffs, it's a record. So he's already gone down in history.
Right. Well,
I don't think it was the way he wanted to.
I don't think it was three errors in the playoffs. I think it was three errors
in one game. Yeah.
And then he had like five or six in the entire postseason, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He
did not have a good postseason at all defensively.
No, this was definitely not his shining hour. And this, in the end, that's really what hurt the Braves, is injuries to key players. Obviously, you've got Chipper Jones that went down, and that's what caused, you know, all the scrambling to try to fill third base, which Omar Infante ended up playing in the playoffs. But in second base, you had a surprise breakout player this year, Martin Prado, do well, but then he got injured right before the playoffs, hence why Brooks Conrad was put in this position in the first place. If Prado's not injured, I think the Braves would have a much better shot at this series, because then you don't have Brooks Conrad taking up you know, 4 at-bats per game.
Right.
And playing the field.
Also, Billy Wagner getting hurt earlier in the series against the Giants.
That was definitely huge, too.
Really, really unfortunate into his career, as he has already stated he will be retiring at season's end. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think regardless of what he said, it could still be up in the air. I mean, nobody wants to go out like that. So I think if he feels he still has a little bit left in him, I think you could see him return. But I wouldn't be surprised if he decided to stay retired. The Giants, offensively, they weren't really great in this series. Buster Posey lived up to his season.
I was actually going to bring that up. I was going to say, if you want to compare the two, possibly the top two Rookie of the Year candidates in the National League, Hayward against Posey, Posey was the complete opposite of Hayward, in which Posey looked phenomenal at the plate,
yeah.
And Hayward looked like a rookie.
Yeah, really no comparison. I mean, Posey he had a .375 average, .882 OPS. He didn't have any RBIs, but he did score 3 runs for the Giants and took 2 walks. Hayward, a .125 average, a .301 OPS, 8 strikeouts,
yeah.
And no RBIs, no runs. So, yeah, stark difference there. Posey was the best performer for the Giants. Right behind him was Cody Ross, so I think you'll see him getting a lot of playing time.
Cody Ross in this series, he'd been coming in. He'd been starting in right field, so I think they'll continue to use that. I mean, he'd been moving to left field and they'd been putting Sherholtz in right field for defensive purposes. But I think Cody Ross is really starting to make himself known for the Giants lineup.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you've got an offensive player in the outfield now. Like you said, Sherholtz was there strictly for defense, but now with Ross, you actually have somebody who can help the lineup offensively. I mean, he's always been a fairly good offensive player, and now he's getting a chance to show that in the playoffs. He had a .286 average and a .905 OPS and a home run for this one.
Very key home run.
Right behind him, you've got Aubrey Huff. I think at the end of the day, I would put Aubrey Huff at least in a top 10 for most underrated players in the league.
He's a quiet player.
Yeah, he seems to always have fairly solid seasons. But, I mean, he's not spectacular. He's never going to be up for an MVP or anything.
Right. Well, he's one of those guys who would be one of the most valuable players to their team because he can play a number of different positions. He can play both corner infield positions, both corner outfield positions. He's a solid offensive player. So he's a really reliable guy to have on your team.
I mean, he gives you a solid bat and a lot of versatility. He had a .267 average and a .656 OPS. So he performed fairly well here.
Right. One thing I think that should be of note in this series is the lack of playing time for Pablo Sandoval. I mean, Mike Fontenot had been getting the majority of the reps at third base in this series. So.
Well, Sandoval in general, like his season, it wasn't up to the
standards people were expecting for him. He did struggle down the stretch.
Yeah, and I believe it might have been game 2 where he had that scary collision with Buster Posey. I mean, that could have affected his playing time going forward. He could have had some injuries. But in the short playing time he had, he only went 1-for-6 for a .167 average and a .452 OPS. So it's a risky move to not play who is perceived to be your best player. But when he's not performing, sometimes that works out. For the Braves, the only notable offensive player was Brian McCann. He went
to be expected.
Yeah, he had a .429 batting average and a .152 OPS. The pity for him is no one else decided to bring their bat to the game.
Right. With the exception of Tommy Hansen, I think the Braves' starting pitching was solid.
Yeah.
In the entire series, Derek Lowe, he did pitch a really, really, really good game in game 1, only in allowing the one run. It just so happens that Lincecum didn't allow any and struck out 14. In game 2, obviously, Hansen got lit up. Game 3, Hudson held his own against Sanchez. And then game 4, Lowe pitched pretty well again until he got to the 7th inning.
Yeah, Derek Lowe had a 2.31 ERA, and everyone else was below that. Aside from Hansen, he had a ERA of 9. Kimbrell had a 2.08. Everybody else was untouched. So, I mean, the Braves pitching kept them in this game. This was a winnable series for them. All the games were decided by one run. If you had any of the Braves players, aside from McCann, show up offensively, we could be talking about a different winner for this one.
Right.
But The pitching for both teams came through. This was expected to be a pitching-heavy series, and it was. But the Giants' offense was a little bit better than the Braves, and that's why the Giants went forward.
Right. Stay tuned for our National League Championship Series preview as we preview the Giants and Phillies, in which I expect to be a phenomenal.
Yeah, especially as you've already stated, Game 1 tonight, Roy Halladay against Tim Lincecum. I mean, we know Roy Halladay is going to win the Cy Young this year, so you're talking about the Cy Young winners from the last 3 years facing off. This could be a great, great matchup. In our next episode, though, we're going to be talking about the Texas Rangers and Tampa Bay Rays series. Easily, I think, the most exciting of the four divisional series. So for this episode, we'll leave you at that, and we hope you enjoy our next episode.
When the Giants come to town, it's bye bye, baby. Every time the chips are down, it's bye bye, baby. History's in the making at Candlestick Park. Team for the batter and light the spark. If you're a fan of Giants baseball, sing bye bye, baby. If you want to KSFO, turn up the volume.